This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Westwood is the city's largest neighborhood in terms of its geographical size, and it's the most heavily populated at 30,000 residents. At one point, it was a crossroads for commerce, moving in and out of the city, and a place where many large and fashionable homes were built. But with changes in the city's zoning code in the 1970s and older generations dying off and younger generations moving out, Westwood has seen blight move in. And in a Cincinnati Magazine article this month titled Cracking the Code, Polk LaFoon writes about efforts to revitalize the neighborhood. He and John Lewandowski, executive director of the Madcap Puppet Theater and board president of the Westwood Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation, join us this afternoon. And you can take part in this conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John and Polk, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Polk, Westwood at one point, as we were talking about earlier, it was a crossroads for commerce in the 19th century, led to a lot of early wealth. There's a lot of notable architecture in the community, such as the town hall and the library, just to name a few. How does Westwood today compare to Westwood of those earlier days?
Well, Westwood today is a much more diverse community. It's the neighborhood. It's the largest neighborhood in Cincinnati with about 30,000 residents, maybe a few more. And it's about 50% white, 50% African American. And in the early days, of course, it would have been totally white.
Now, like a lot of aging communities, how much has it been affected by blight and deterioration?
Well, I think in the southern part of it, it's been affected quite a bit. And it now has about, I think, 40% single-family occupancy and 60% are rental units of some sort. And a number of the very committed citizens of Westwood are working hard to reverse that ratio.
Now, what were some of the factors that led to this deterioration? Changes in the zoning code, changes in demographics, that kind of thing?
I think changes in the zoning code in the 70s. That's what I gathered from talking to people there. And along with that, older generations moving out of Westwood. It was a period when a lot of people just moved out of the city to suburbs where they could have more acreage, more grass. So those two things combined. I think people just weren't paying a lot of attention to zoning codes. So you had these beautiful big old houses along Harrison Avenue, and some of them were torn down, and people put up very plain vanilla, nondescript kind of apartment buildings that are still there today. They also put up a couple of very nice ones that are still there today, but there is a mix.
John, did you want to add in anything about what's occurred in Westwood? Is it a lot of this because of the zoning code changes?
Well, I think this effect has been happening to many neighborhoods across the entire region. It's not exclusive to Westwood, and I think this is a kind of change in how we view the neighborhoods that we live in. I think something that we are working on now really is to transform Westwood into a neighborhood of choice, meaning that we become a location where young families would like to move, where we have the kinds of activities and amenities that they would be looking for in order to relocate into their neighborhood. We have one of the most beautiful housing stocks of any neighborhood in the city. So we have the bones to go forward and to attract young families and young homeowners to our area. Part of our challenge is really to have the kinds of activities and the kinds of things that people would like to see occur in a neighborhood where they want to live. That's a lot of the work that we've been doing recently with a lot of the community members involved in refurbishing buildings and taking over the neighborhood and moving things forward, is how do you transform, for example, our neighborhood business district into a district that becomes a destination where people will have be able to go for a date night, where you'll have an event going on, where you'll have a microbrewery, where you can go and taste some craft beer. and possibly a restaurant with a terrace where you can sit and enjoy the activity on the street, and maybe something also for the families, where you have performances at the new Madcap Center, for example, for kids and adults, where you have these kinds of activities where it becomes a destination. Having that activity base and the kind of amenities that attract young homeowners and young people and also the current residents to come out and to experience these things is really a critical step in transforming the neighborhood.
One other thing, Mark. The housing prices in Westwood are reasonable compared to some of the neighborhoods, particularly on the east side or Clifton. So it is a draw for young people coming in either from here or people, transients, coming in from other places.
Polk, how much of an impact did the controversy over the Gamble House and the fact that it was eventually demolished, what kind of effect did that have on Westwood?
Well, I have a quote in the story from Jim McNulty, who's the head of the Westwood Civic Association, saying that it really galvanized them, and he said something to the effect of, let this be the rallying point for us to move forward and achieve all the other things that we want to achieve. What became clear to me in researching this story was they not only wanted to save the Gamble House for what it was, but I think it also symbolized in a way what they wanted Westwood to become, which, as John was saying, a destination, but a place that preserved its past, honored its past, and made something special out of what they considered a very special building, and they lost that one.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's welcome Joel Kimmett. Joel is the secretary of the Westwood Civic Association, also a former president. Joel, you're on Cincinnati Edition. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to just reiterate what John Lewandowski was talking about. I've lived in Westwood for 12 years now. I moved here from Phoenix, originally from northern Ohio. But if you just drive around Westwood and just look at some of the great housing stock we have, a lot of the history and some of the older buildings that have been preserved, it's really true when we want to talk about making Westwood a destination and a place for new people to move in. Heck, 12 years ago when I joined the Westwood Civic Association, I was actually one of the youngest members. And I'm 50 now, and there's been quite a transition. If you look at the majority of the board members that are on the Westwood Civic Association now, they're all under age 40. So I think you can see a transition that relates to the neighborhood at whole, where we have a lot of young professionals moving into Westwood. They love the neighborhood once they get here. And not only do they want to preserve a lot of the old architecture and the homes and the beautiful parts of Westwood, but they want to revitalize this neighborhood business district that we have and really make it beautiful, invite a lot of new companies to come in, new restaurants, new pubs, new destinations. And I think the form-based codes and the other things that we're doing in Westwood are going to make that happen. And over the next 10 years, I think you're really going to see some exciting things happen in Westwood.
Joel, thank you.
Joel brought up an interesting point. Recently, Westwood implemented form-based codes. This is a change in the code that affects the neighborhood business district.
How exactly do this form-based code work, John?
It's a very interesting point. They are based on the predominant feature of a neighborhood or of an area. So these codes, in fact, would help us preserve the single-family homes and tree-lined streets that exist now and put the density into the business district where we want to see that kind of activity occur. It will give the community actually stronger tools to deal with these kind of issues and code issues, and it's proven effective in a number of different communities across the country.
So it sounds like you're getting more local control over zoning issues. Is that a correct way to look at this?
Well, it preserves the existing predominant features of the neighborhood. So if you're looking at the neighborhood business district, you're preserving a lot of the businesses and the types of architecture that you have. You're trying to promote a walkable area where you will have a destination and people will have the kind of density that occurs in that area, and preserve the neighborhood home, single-family homes that exist at the current way that they do.
Polk, is there a different perspective on form-based code? Is anybody in the community not exactly excited about this idea?
Well, there are some who are not excited about it that I talked to. I know that Jim McNulty, I said this in the article, Jim McNulty is the head of the Westwood Civic Association, is not a fan of the form-based code, and he fears that it would change the personality, for example, of the Westwood business district, which is largely, not exclusively, single-story or maybe two-story buildings, and it runs a pretty good distance, several blocks from the town hall up to the Cheviot border. But that said, I have a lot of respect for what John is saying, too, because as near as I can understand it, the form-based code differs from what has been the prevailing code in Cincinnati forever, which is a use-based code. And the form-based code tries to get buildings to conform with what is sort of the predominant look and feel of a neighborhood. So, for example, if you have a business district and you have some cluster housing there already, the form-based code would help you to concentrate that kind of land use in that kind of area, and you wouldn't have, for example, a high-rise just popping up out of the blue in the middle of a single-family neighborhood. So, from what I can tell, I think four neighborhoods in Cincinnati that have adopted the form-based code are smart to try it. They are Madisonville, Westwood, College Hill, and Walnut Hills. And they're all going to just try it. And, you know, I think there may be some real advantages.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's speak with Eric in Westwood. Good afternoon, Eric. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Great. You're welcome.
I just had I guess two quick comments. One, my wife and I moved into Westwood in I think around 2008. She's a pediatrician and I'm an attorney. I actually just graduated from UC last year. And something that I'm shocked about is, you know, when we were looking for a house, we looked all over the city. I'm originally from actually the west side of Cincinnati, and I was determined not to fall into the trap and stay over there. But, you know, you look around the city, you cannot find the value of house, the nice houses for, you know, under, you know, $200,000, and you can find many of those in Westwood. The problem is, talking to my classmates, no one even knows where Westwood is, and it's the largest part of the city. It's like this undiscovered thing. I don't know. I feel like if we did a better job as Westwood promoting ourselves, maybe we could encourage some businesses to come over there. So
John lit up when you said that, Eric. So
this is an important point.
Thanks for the call.
This is really an important point. You know, the reason people don't know how incredibly beautiful Westwood is because you don't have a reason to go there, unless you have destinations like the new Madcap Center that we're going to be developing. Unless you have activities like Westwood Works, which is a community asset-based organization that's putting together events that we have, for example, a holiday event at the town hall, Deck the Hall, where we invited choirs from neighborhood churches to sing. This creates the kinds of promotional tools and activities that will attract people from other neighborhoods. If you don't have destinations, if you don't have reasons to go there, people will not know it exists, how beautiful a location it is. When we can start to develop the business district and have destinations.
Like a restaurant.
Also, events. We found in a recent study, Elizabeth Bartley, the executive director of the Redevelopment Corporation, quotes in a study that comes from Americans for the Arts, that for every ticket sold to an event, such as a Madcap performance, you will have another $26 spent in the district for amenities if they exist. This kind of economic development, this kind of economic impact is critical, not only for the promotion of the neighborhood and the marketing of the value of your community, but also it helps drive other businesses in the district, and it helps start to stimulate what is happening in your neighborhood.
Let's talk with Monica in Westwood. Good afternoon, Monica. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thank you, and thanks for having me. I was actually sitting here chuckling at the previous caller's comments because I mentioned to somebody the other day that I was taking yoga in Westwood, and they were like, yoga in Westwood?
Where's Westwood?
Yoga.
Like, yes, it's fantastic. We're starting to see some really interesting things. In
at the Four Directions Studio.
Yes, and I've met so many of my people who live in my neighborhood that I don't even know yet. But I did want to mention, you talked earlier about young families, and when we pulled into the driveway, in fact, I'm sitting in my driveway, when we pulled into the driveway 15 years ago and my kids were quite young, one of the things that they fell in love with the house, because we're behind St. Catherine's and there was a huge, beautiful park and we could open the back gate and the kids could go up and play in the park, and they did frequently. And I'm sitting here today and I sit here frequently and look, and it's all been allowed to overgrow, like the hillside, and it used to be kept trimmed, and it was, there was a lot of interaction in the park, and now it's like it's not even like a nice forest, it's like dense overgrowth, and you can't even open the back gate because the trees and things and have grown, weeds have grown right up against the fence.
Monica, is that a city park?
You know, it's Ryan Field, so it's probably attached to the... Oh, good point. I don't know if it's owned by the church or by the city. That's a great question.
I think it is not owned by the city, because I'm a little involved with the city parks here, and I don't think what you're talking about is a Cincinnati city park.
Yeah. It used to just be kept up beautifully, and you could just walk up there, and it was fantastic. But I appreciate your comment. And then the last question I had, I'm so excited that this is even on the news, on the airwaves today, because I'm committed to staying here. I love Westwood. I love the diverse neighborhood. But I would be curious to any of the people that you interviewed, whether they had any comments about what's been happening in Over the Rhine and the West End downtown over the last 5 to 8 years, how, if they felt that there has been any impact to the Westwood and the West Side neighborhoods.
I did not pick that up. I mean, the two things that maybe occur to me that you might be thinking of is, has the redevelopment in the West End over the Rhine pushed people out? Nobody said that, nor did I hear anybody say, gosh, over the Rhine's getting a lot of attention. Why shouldn't we get some here, too? So neither of those came up.
There has been, since the Over the Rhine projects have started to really develop well, there has been a political interest in moving into the next ring of neighborhood business districts and into the neighborhoods and help revitalize those areas.
Monica, thank you for the call. Let's talk with Leslie in Westwood. And Leslie, you're part of Westwood Works, is that correct?
Yeah, I am the board chair for Westwood Works and one of the co-founders.
Okay, well, welcome to Cincinnati Edition, and what's your question or comment?
I want to thank John for the shout-out to Westwood Works, and I am a nearly lifelong Westwood resident, and I would say that this is probably the first time in a long time that I've seen coordinated energy that started through the discussion of form-based codes led by the Westwood Coalition, where many of the groups are coming together to have future-focused conversations about Westwood and what it looks like to include all of our neighbors in that future. And Westwood Works is really doing a lot of work to bring people together and to build those relationships in the community. And we've seen people hungry for that and desire that. In just the growth in our membership and the great ideas they have about different events, we started as a group that wanted a artworks mural in our neighborhood. And that was in 2009, and now, just a few short years later, we have Deck the Hall, which John mentioned, and the Westwood Art Show, and pop-up beer gardens, and we're going to be doing some free family movie nights, too, this summer. And so I think, you know, people in Westwood are really excited to be together in community, and I have had lots of new neighbors move in who have said that form-based codes and the brewery that may be coming into our neighborhood and lots of the other positive changes, the yoga studio, which was mentioned, are reasons that they decided to move to Westwood.
Leslie, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. By the way, John, if I'm an outsider, I'm not from Westwood, if I'm telling my family and friends where Westwood is, how do I best describe it?
Well, if you're coming from downtown, you can take one of many routes out of the city. Westwood Northern Boulevard, Queen City, Harrison Avenue, all of those routes go up the hill, in fact, into Westwood. Westwood is a very historic neighborhood. Originally, it was one of the first areas that was developed with beautiful homes. A lot of the more wealthy residents of this region, the Gamble family, they were Westwood people, and they built their homes up on the hill. We are one of the highest points in the area, and the people there really feel that.
Now, Tom sent us an email. He wanted to know the state of McFarland Woods Park. Is that familiar to either one of you? No?
I don't know if it's changing. The McFarland Woods Park is an active park. It's a very wooded area. There are trails that go through the park. There's opportunity where you can go hiking in that area. There are some huge areas in Westwood and in neighboring neighborhoods that have this possibility of green space and a lot of parks that are available for hiking.
Polk, why is it important to keep an eye on what's going on in Westwood with this whole revitalization issue?
Well, I think that what's happening out there is a kind of a template for what can happen in all kinds of neighborhoods. In 21st century America, we have many different kinds of people living all over the city. We've seen cities across the Midwest lose a lot of their population with white flight to the suburbs. We've seen deteriorating inner city neighborhoods. We've also seen a lot of gentrification, a lot of retaking of downtown areas, young people moving in. So there are all these forces and all these conflicts. And what's happening in Westwood is a good example of the best that could happen if committed citizens move ahead with positive ideas.
Well, John and Polk, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
John Lewandowski, Executive Director of the Madcap Puppet Theater and Board President of the Westwood Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation. Polk LaFoon, you can read his article, Cracking the Code, in this month's Cincinnati Magazine. And there's also a link on the WVXU website. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Science Friday is up next.